Good morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, or we've got a handout that it is printed on. We're going to be looking today at a passage in Hebrews, verses 19 through 27. Preston read that earlier to us in our scripture reading. Relatively short passage, but very insightful, very encouraging, very demanding in a number of ways, all for our benefit. It starts out, or earlier in Hebrews, it started out, in fact, we had just finished, a month or two ago, our Wednesday night study, our Wednesday night Bible study has been in Hebrews. And so we've just finished that up. Earlier in Hebrews, to kind of set the stage, some of the lessons that had been in Hebrews prior to the 10th chapter was the concept of a better way. The Jews, the people of God, had known the law of Moses for generations. And this book of Hebrews was written to Jewish converts to Christianity. And this concept of a better way. Well, what you've had, the words that God has given you were good, but here is a better way. There was the comparison of the Old and New Covenants prior to Hebrews 10. The concept of the blood sacrifices that they were very, very well versed in. It was part of their life, part of their culture, their religious heritage of the blood sacrifices, but it's insufficient. Just in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, the blood of bulls and goats was not as good as the blood of the Son of God. Not only is Jesus being compared as the high priest, the one that would go before the people, the one that would go before the people with sacrifices, with the prayers, but Jesus is going to be our high priest. The Son of God will go before us. He was not only the high priest, but he was the sacrifice himself. And the fact that Jesus was offered once for all, that Jesus was offered once when he was crucified, not an ongoing year by year at the Passover. That leads us up to this passage in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Starting in verse 19, verses 19 and 20 says, therefore, and I remember a preacher years and years and years ago saying, whenever you see therefore, you got to ask yourself, why is it therefore? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. That we can enter boldly. The high priest did not take their duties lightly. They did not go in willy-nilly in and out of that Holy of Holies. They did it with purpose. They did it with a single-mindedness that when they were going in, they were offering sacrifice. It wasn't a hangout place. It wasn't that they would just go in, with a frivolous attitude. That we can enter boldly. One man got to go in. A high priest. They didn't dilly-dally. Jewish tradition, nowhere in the scriptures do we see it, Jewish tradition has it that they would tie a rope around themselves just in case if they should die, keel over, have a stroke, whatever, while they're in that Holy of Holies, while they're serving God, that others wouldn't have to go in there, but that they could pull them out. That's how serious the Jews saw this place. We can enter it. We can enter boldly. Not with a bad attitude, not with a carefree attitude, but that we can enter this place that only one person, one time a year, used to enter. Why? Because Jesus has opened that veil. We can enter because of His sacrifice, because His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can draw near. Jesus has paved that way for us. The high priests were mere men. They were good men, but they were still men. They would have to cleanse themselves. They're going into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the children of Israel before God. They would have to cleanse themselves for behalf of the people. Our high priest is Jesus, the Son of God, a far cry from a mere man. And our bodies were washed with pure water. Our bodies were washed with the water of baptism. Not a purified, fancy filtration system. That water in the baptistry is just pure old water out of the tap. Filled up. It's not the water that cleanses us. It's that water, when we're baptized, we're being cleansed with the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, 28, a verse we use quite often when we're conducting the Lord's Supper, the communion, Paul says, "Let us examine ourselves." The priests, before they would go in to do the work for the people, for God, they would have to cleanse themselves. Those laver bowls were reflective. And as they're cleaning themselves, they see themselves. They have to cleanse themselves on behalf of the people. And like Paul said, let us examine ourselves. We're washed with that pure water of baptism. The water, and we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. The foolishness of God. How does blood cleanse you? We're cleansed by His blood. He goes on to say in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That verse right there is a mouthful. Hold fast. Draw the line. Hold on. Without wavering. Don't stray from that truth of the Word. You hold fast. And how do we do that? How do we hold that line? two ways is through Bible study, through the knowledge of the Word of God. Another way is through prayer. Now, I don't think there is a single person in here that would disagree that studying the Word of God is beneficial for you. I don't think there's anybody that would argue that. I don't think there is a single person that would say, no, prayer is not that big of a thing. Those are some of the ways that we can strengthen ourselves. In fact, from here on, we start seeing the ways we can strengthen ourselves through the Word of God. But isn't it so easy? Everybody agrees. I know that the Word of God is beneficial to you. I know vegetables. Well, I love vegetables, but I know vegetables are good for you. How many people know exercise is good for you? Getting enough sleep is good for you. But isn't it easy to be distracted to not do it? Everybody understands studying the Word of God is good for you and can help you hold fast that confession. It benefits you. It contributes to that. Makes it easy not to waver. No one would argue, prayer's not that big. Prayer is very important. But it is so easy to get distracted. I'm too busy to study the Word of God. I've got too many things going on. Listen to what that says. I'm too busy to study. I'm too busy to pray. I heard a preacher once, and I'll tell you, it hit me right between the eyes. That is something, it spoke volumes to me about the person. A preacher. I'm too busy. I don't have time to pray. That spoke volumes. The devil does not want us to do this. The devil's pleased if we are distracted from studying the Word of God. The devil is pleased the time we're not communing with God in prayer. He loves it because it weakens us and it makes us to where we may not be able to hold fast without wavering. The devil loves it. Leads us to this next. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The devil hates the concept of us. We talked about this in Preston's class a little bit this morning. The devil hates that concept of us and one another singly. He wants us to try to be an island, isolated, not together. The concept of me, I. He loves that concept. One-on-one, we're a piece of cake. Going up against us, as the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Me individually, I am one weak individual. But me and the church cannot be defeated. The devil loves that concept of separation. doesn't want us to consider one another. God wants us to. Consider one another. Newsflash. Newsflash. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Something that is totally against the teaching of the world. It's not about us individually. The world doesn't revolve around me individually. It doesn't revolve around you individually. The world teaches that it does. Have it your way. You deserve whatever. The world teaches that it's all about you and what makes you happy. I hate to tell you, it's not true. It's a lie. God wants us to consider each other. Consider each other. In order, why? In order to stir up love and good works. We're stronger when we're doing it together. We have a purpose. Have you ever heard somebody, well, I just didn't get anything out of church today. They're probably looking for the wrong thing. They're going to look to get. This says, consider one another. It goes to the next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are the ways that we can strengthen ourselves to hold fast that confession without wavering, is through study, is through prayer. To realize, it's so empowering to realize no matter what the world throws at us, and the world's good at it, the devil's good at it, every one of us has been socked right in the mouth by the devil. Every one of us has been kicked in the gut, doubled over, knocked down at times. But to realize we are a prayer away from God. Through prayer, through Bible study, through considering one another, through assembling ourselves together, it strengthens us to hold fast that confession. You know, everything that we've done today could be done individually. We could have stayed at home, stayed in our pajamas, and prayed to God. We could have stayed at home, opened up our Bibles, and studied the Word of God. We could have partaken in the Lord's Supper, remembered the sacrifice of the Son of God, taken the bread, taken the fruit of the vine. We could have done that alone. We could have given of our money for some good works alone. But you know what? We can't do this alone. God wants us to come together as a body, as a formal worship, to worship Him together. We can't fellowship alone. We can't be encouraged alone. We can't encourage others alone. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. I'll be here if I don't get a better offer. Oh, I was just too tired this morning. Stayed up late doing fun things last night. Sure could do that. and I sure won't be late to work tomorrow. God gets put on the back burner on Sunday. I'm talking to the wrong people. You're here. Talking to the wrong people. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. We can't exhort and encourage, strengthen, challenge, inspire by ourselves. And so much more as you see the day approaching. There's a reason. You got to be doing this. You got to be studying. You've got to be considering one another. Because the day is approaching. For if we sin willingly, after we received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. We're kind of seeing the flip side of the coin now. You're encouraged to do this, 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 and this. But if we don't, if we continue to sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice. What Jesus did will be no benefit for us. The sacrifice that God made for us will be for naught for us individually if we continue to sin willfully. Sin is sin. We as people sometimes want to categorize sin, and some sins are worse. Sin separates us from God. Case closed. But sinning willfully, living a life of sin, is different than stumbling. There's not one of us that doesn't stumble. If none of us stumble, then we wouldn't have needed the blood of Christ. But there's a difference in stumbling and being covered by the blood of Christ and repenting of our sins. There's a difference in that and going and sinning willfully, defiantly, rebelliously toward God after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 7, 23. He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He's talking to people that had done religious things in His name. They had done religious activities. And He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness." These were religious people. These were people that were doing things they thought were religious. "I never knew you. You never were one of mine. You who practice lawlessness, living in sin, sinning willfully." There's a big difference because every one of us stumbles. It goes on to say, but if we don't have that sacrifice of sins, we will have something else. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries of God. We can either have the sacrifice of sins for our benefit or a fearful expectation that when we approach the throne of God, we will face judgment. It's kind of a no-brainer. This passage here kind of is coming together, all the things that had been talked about in Hebrews earlier, in just a few verses, is starting to bring things to a point. We have a choice to hold fast that confession without wavering, and to do that, we can encourage each other, consider one another for love and good works, get the strength from studying our Bible, through prayer, through assembling together. But if we don't, and if we go on sinning willfully, that, a fearful expectation that will devour the adversaries. If you're a child of God, if you have been baptized, you've been covered in the blood of Christ, your sins forgiven, we still need to remain faithful. When we do stumble, we need to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 that if we don't repent, we will all likewise perish. We have to repent. If you're not a child of God, if you have not been added by the Lord to the church, not join, if you've not been added by the Lord when you're baptized, if you have not had your sins forgiven, washed clean through baptism, covered with the blood of Christ, you can expect that fearful expectation of judgment. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism today, we would love to help you with that. If you need prayers of the congregation to strengthen us, to help us hold fast that line without wavering, whatever we can do to assist you, we will. If you would like to identify with us here at South Valley, you've been looking for a church home, we would love to have you worship God here with us. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let those needs be known. While Curtis leads us in the invitation, we'll address those needs. Let us stand and sing.